Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, Lord God. We just ask, Lord, that you would move through your word, that your Holy Spirit would transform these words, Lord God, that wouldn't be mine, but they'd be yours. And they would impact the hearts and the minds and the souls of each and every person here, including my own. I'm not just proclaiming your word to others, but proclaiming your word to myself, God. Lord, speak to us today through your word. Make yourself alive to us. Give us your living water. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we were singing some of the songs, right? And the second song, which is awesome. And we're going to be talking. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. And we're going to be talking about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. And it's interesting when we're going to look at his life on how they looked at blind people and that community. And the second song we were singing, and I love the worship songs we sing. I love how we get opportunity to worship God together. Where it says that Christ welcomes the weak, the vilest, and the poor. And that was all of us at one time in our lives, right? We were that weak one. We were the vilest one. We were the poorest one. Because blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Knowing we don't have anything to offer God. So I went to, how many of you guys know it kind of sucks to lose your sight? If you're getting older, maybe over the age of 40, some people earlier. But I remember I used to give Angela a hard time, my wife, and she wouldn't have her glass on because she's nearsighted, but she can't see far away, so everything's blurry to her. And I was like, all right, honey, what does this look like? What does that look like without the glasses? And then what happens is you start getting a little older yourself. I was at a baby shower last night, and so they had this game, and I didn't bring my reading glasses. In fact, I bring two pairs, okay, just to make sure. And they had this thing, but I'm going to read it. I was like, I can't play this game. All the writing is in there. I'd have to hold it, across the room back there to try to read it. And it just sucks. And you can't see. I know you go to the restaurant to try to read the menu. You can't see what you're ordering. I was like, okay, I want that picture right there. Or what's really bad is if you have like a medicine bottle and you know which one to take, huh? That could be a big problem. So I'll have my kids read it. Are you reading that right? Is that the right thing? How many dosage? Because it could be a problem when we can't see. It could be a problem. So let's get into our word. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, but we're going to actually start in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version, but these are going to be out of the New American Standard, but they're really similar. But when we think about, what about spiritual blindness, right? Not just physical blindness, but what about spiritual blindness? What about not being able to see God? How much worse would that be? How much more would that suck? We live a whole life. We see 20/20 in this world. We see great in the things of this world. But once we get to the time of eternity, we're spiritually blind and we can't see Christ. How much worse would that be? So I'm a little bit behind you guys, but Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to start out with. And we're going to be in verse 9. And it goes, "He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." We see people that, talking about people that can't hear or see spiritually, right? "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even that he will be taken away. We see that even what he has will be taken away. It says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see. There's people in life that think they're seeing. They're living this life. They think that they have all they ever need. But it's saying right here, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. How terrible that would that be, right? Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that day. That says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. And there's so many people out there in the world like this right now that are just out there trying to fulfill themselves with the things of this world. Verse 15, for this people's heart has grown dull. I think about, are we so full of other things that our heart grows dull toward Christ? And we just don't have time. Like, the things of God just aren't exciting to us anymore. When we open the Word of God, it's just, I could do something else. The prayer, it's just too hard. It just takes too long. Do the things of God become dull to us? God forbid. Because that's when we're in a dark place. And it says, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears, they can barely hear. That's a dangerous place to be. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And that's what God has called us to do, that we would turn to him, that he would heal us. And we're going to get into our passage in a minute. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. They got to see Christ first and foremost. But we, right? The body of Christ, get to see him move even today in this world, in people's lives, in our lives. What's amazing, I grew up, we're going to be going over to Mark chapter 10 now. But growing up, not knowing Christ and just being spiritually blind. We're going to be in Mark 10, verse 46. But just being spiritually blind. And then when God starts opening up your eyes to the things of what he has for you, it's absolutely amazing. And when he starts changing the people around you, when their eyes go from dull to light, right, to seeing what is true, what is of true value, of true worth, of true measure, it's absolutely amazing. So what about us? What about our eyes to see or to hear Jesus? Like I said before, before I knew Christ, I really never even noticed a church. There's, if you guys see bumper stickers on people's cars talking about Jesus, or they have the Jesus fish. And, before I talked about, I had no idea there was even Christian music, like the songs we were singing, I don't know, they sing about God. Oh, cool. Nice. I was talking about, last month that I didn't even know Christmas songs were about Jesus. Nice tune. Sounded good. But my eyes were darkened. They were closed. I didn't notice anything. I was spiritually blind. And then God opened up my eyes. God opened up my eyes. So let's start here in Mark 10, verse 46. Let's look at our verse, today. And it says, and they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. So this great crowd was around Jesus and the disciples, massive amount of people. and a great crowd. And it says, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. We see how the world sees him, right? How does the world see this guy? Blind Bartimaeus. That's how they are perceiving him, right? This is blind guy. That's what his life is all about. Blind Bartimaeus was at the bottom of society, below peasants, looked at as an unclean sinner with no hope for them. We see how the world perceives people, really. We are all unclean sinners, right? Before we come in contact with Jesus. That's really all of us. But blind Bartimaeus was literally looked at as like kind of the scum of the earth. And when he was blind, they said a lot of times in that society, and we even have it going on today with the prosperity gospel, where they try to say, you're sick because you don't have enough health, or because you did something wrong, or this, you're blind because you're a sinner. And yes, sin has effect on our life. I'm not saying that. But not everything is caused by sin, original sin from Adam and Eve, of course. But they'll say, oh, the reason why you're not healthy is because you don't have enough faith. And so back then, or the reason why you don't have money is because you don't have enough faith. You're not close enough to God. And so we even see that, in that today, and that where people say, well, you ain't got no money because, man, you ain't got enough faith in God, or you sick because, you ain't got enough faith in God. So it's this old false gospel. And so that's how they perceived him. And really, we're all sinners, right? We're all poor, wretched sinners. And we see different labels that people put on. Remember Doubting Thomas? You guys heard that label? Doubting Thomas? That was a label. And people still talk about Thomas, Doubting Thomas today. But he went off into India and shared the gospel. And many people got saved. And remember, when he does see Christ, he says, touch my side, touch my hands. And he says, and then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He came to that point in his life, my Lord and my God. And we see people, right? If you grew up in different things, in school or kids around the neighborhood, there's some kids named, Stinky, right? Big Head, Five Head. All these different terms, right? People like skinny, fat, stupid, nerdy. There's all these kind of like different things that people label us with, right? I don't know. I was labeled with all kinds. They used to call me. I see it's so somber. My face would be bright red. It might be light way too right now. But I'd be bright red, be sunburned, so they'd nickname me Cherry, Or I was real skinny growing up, and there's these different labels that people put on us. Yeah, we're all sinners, right? But you know what? It doesn't matter how the world labels you or how the world perceives you. What really matters is what is Christ looking at your life? Where is he going to meet you at? It is how Christ seeks us. Yes, we're as a sinner, but one that Christ died for. And how will we respond to Jesus? How will we respond? And we're going to see this, right? So let's see what happens to this blind beggar. And so where it talks about Bartimaeus, it says a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus. And Bar actually means son of, right? We're like, okay, cool, I know that. It's blind Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. And it's amazing, we see, I don't know if you guys know, but we're like, why would they even talk about names in the Bible or places in the Bible or times in the Bible? You know what's so amazing about it is that this was written by eyewitnesses. And the Bible is written by eyewitnesses or by people that were eyewitnesses that really dictated it to him, that told him about it. And so when you see names and you see places in the Bible, those people could be like, yeah, I was there when people wrote it down. So it was written in the time of eyewitnesses that other eyewitnesses could say, oh, that was a lie. How many of you guys ever been somewhere with someone and someone's making up a story? You know, they call them fish stories, right? Remember that time I caught this fish this big? Bro, I was there, dude. It was this big. Right? They were there. You can know. And that's how the Bible, it was so written so early, the authority of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, the reliability of the Word of God, that's why even we could see today, and they could go back and say, yeah, I remember Bartimaeus, that blind beggar, and Jesus changed his life. And so we see that, or where it talks about Jericho, or it talks about when this was, because pastor's going to talk about it a little bit, a lot about next week, but the triumphal entry right before that. But it's so interesting that we have the opportunity for that. And it says, so blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Isn't that interesting? You know that it is all of us before Christ comes into our lives, before he saves us, right? That was us sitting by the roadside. We were helpless, blind beggars, in desperate need of a Savior, a healer of our souls. Some of you may even right now be on the roadside of life. But that's everybody. All of us at one point in our life is that blind beggar sitting on the roadside, hopeless and helpless. You know, he couldn't do anything for himself. Did you guys know that? Blind Bartimaeus. Someone would have to walk him to the roadside and would have to sit him down there, and he would just beg. Really, all of us are broken, roadside begging sinners in need of a Savior. Some people, I got this, I got that. My life's comfortable. I got everything I need. People think that, but just wait, just wait. But that's all of us in life. That really is all of us in life. Let's go on to verse 47. And it says, and when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, so we heard Jesus of Nazareth was coming, and he knew who this Jesus was. He knew who was coming. And it says, when he heard, now how do we respond? How do we respond when someone's talking about Jesus, talking about the Word of God, talking about, man, I heard this sermon. You got to check it out. Oh, man, I'm praying. Let's talk about the Lord. How do people respond to it? Are they excited? How do we respond if someone's going to give us $1 million? Oh, bring it on. Bring it on. Right? How do we respond when we know Jesus is coming by? Man, God's going to move in your life. God's going to move in the service. God's going to transform your life through his word. How do we respond? Let's see what Bartimaeus, blind beggar by the roadside, let's see how he responded. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He wasn't playing, right? He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David. Isn't this interesting, right? He knew when it's talking about here, son of David. You guys know who son of David is? It's a title for the Messiah. And Jesus, which is translated, Yeshua, that means Yahweh saves, God saves. Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh saves, God saves. He cries out to him. He cries out. We think about, are we even in places of desperation in our lives where we're crying out to God because we need what God has for our lives instead of the other things that the world can never replace, that the world can never give us? Or we cry out, Jesus, Yahweh saves, God saves. And then when it says right here, it says, David, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. It is a title for the Messiah. And what is the Messiah, right? Messiah is what? The Christ. And so, and that's it. Let's check it out in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. 61, 1 through 3. So the title of Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Christ, really the coming deliverer that takes away our sins. Isaiah 61. And we're going to be in verse 1. And it says, and it's prophetic about Christ, and Christ will even say this later on, but this is written about 700 years before Christ. And if you don't know, there is the great Isaiah scroll that is dated like 250 to 300 years before Christ is available right now, the great Isaiah scroll. And there's so much prophecy about Jesus, which is amazing. And it's what we have here today, what we have here today. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Isn't that amazing? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So this, you know, prophecy about Jesus Christ, this coming deliverer, this anointed one, the Messiah, really the one that delivers us from our sin. Let's turn to Matthew 1:21 real quick. Matthew 1:21, where it says, she will bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And we see, right, this who Jesus is, this Messiah. And we see how Bartimaeus knew who he was. And it says, Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And it says, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. That's where we get this term, Son of David, this messianic term. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So this is exciting, that blind Bartimaeus that has nothing, he hears Jesus coming by. He says, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the one to deliver me from my sins. What am I going to do? I'm going to cry out to him, because I need Christ. I need healing. I need salvation to be delivered from our sins, right? Delivered from our sins. So now that that is the one he's thinking, right, is, let's go back to Mark 10, but to cry out, we think about how desperate are even we in our lives. Are we on the roadside of life? Spiritual blindness, no hope. There's people out there to cry out to Jesus. And then he goes on to say, right? Have mercy on me, Bartimaeus says. Have mercy on me. And what's mercy? Pity on me. Really saying, I'm blind, I'm hopeless, sinner, in need of a healer for my eyes and for my soul. And that's all of us in different times of our lives, especially before we know Christ. But what happens? That Jesus gives him mercy. Jesus gives him mercy. This mercy is, really is what mercy is, that you don't get what you deserve. You know, people, you'll hear people that says, give me what I deserve, right? Give me what I deserve. Really, none of us want what we really deserve. We don't. You know what we all deserve? Hell and death. That's what we all deserve. I deserve it. I deserve punishment. I deserve hell. I deserve to be separated from Christ for eternity. But Christ had mercy on me. Because we come to the point and we realize that we're just blind beggars sitting on the roadside in need of a desperate Savior. We're desperate for a Savior. And that's all of us. Because we all deserve hell. For the wages of sin is death. It doesn't stop there. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord, our Lord. That is. And we're going to see this free gift working out, right? Let's go to verse 48. And it says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And we think about the people, right, that stop, be quiet, shh. You know, you tell people about Jesus, or, man, I'm serving God. Hey, I don't want to hear about that. Shh, be quiet. You know, I remember after I got saved, I was excited, man. I'm telling everybody about Jesus at school. I wanted to start a Christian club, Pittsburgh High School. They didn't have one. And I said, hey, man, oh, you have to get signatures, a little petition to get it signed. I started asking people around school, man, hey, what about that? We have this Christian club. We talk about Jesus. And you ain't supposed to start following Jesus till you like in your 30s. I'm like, what you happens if you die? And they would, you know, make fun or whatever. Shh, shh, shh. Don't talk about that. People all that, right? Oh, you can't say anything. Don't talk about Jesus. Shh. We think about that. But I think about, you know, ain't no one going to stop me from encountering Christ. Going to him. They try to stop him from crying out. Be silent. You know, there are a lot of people that will, for whatever reasons, will do that. They don't want you to call out to Jesus, whatever reasons. The only one who can save our souls, give us hope, give hope to the hopeless, save you from the pit of hell, and give us life. The only one that could heal our body, our mind, our emotions, most of our eternal souls. But check it out. Did he listen? Should we listen? Hey, don't talk about this Jesus. Nope. The second part of verse 48. So it says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but hold up, wait a minute. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out all the more, and no one's going to stop me from calling on the Lord. We have to have that kind of attitude in our lives, even when we're struggling, even when we're going through it, even when we're discouraged, even when we're like going through things in life. Don't let anything stop you from crying out to the Lord. Because we're all roadside beggars, regardless of what we think or what other people think about us. So he again, you know, that title, Messiah, Son of David, have mercy on me. Take heart. It says, check it out, verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. Isn't that amazing? Everybody else is looking down and shut up. Wait. And he calls all the more. And Jesus stopped. He said, hey, call him. Bring him over to me. There's people are always like trying to, this elitism and even religiosity. I'm more spiritual or holy. You know, don't let the kids come over here. Don't let them. Not that. No, he comes from the weakest, the vilest, and the poor. Just like our song, our second song, right? That's what he comes from. But he says, and Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. Take heart. God is calling you. God is calling you. Take heart. And let's see this effectual call. And we're going to see, and we'll be wrapping up a little bit, but take heart. Jesus is calling you. And we think about, amen, hallelujah, what a wonderful day, what a wonderful life this, you know, it is when Jesus calls us to what? Who's Jesus calling him to? Himself. That's what Christ calls us to. He doesn't call us to this or to that. He calls you to himself. Where else, better place where to be, right? You guys like that. You know, I thought about, you know, when I was a little kid, I remember going and put my head on my mom's arm or in my lap and stuff, and just feeling comfortable, you know, being in those places of comfort. There's no other better great place to be when Christ calls us to himself. Let's look at that real quick. And it's John chapter 6, verse 35. Let's look at this effectual calling. I mean, like this calling, what Christ has, that God has. John chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Amen. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Uh-oh. Check out these words of Christ. Really, all the whole Bible is the words of Christ. These are the ones he spoke here on earth, right? All that the Father gives to me will come to me. This effectual calling, where he's calling blind Bartimaeus. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Isn't that an amazing statement? Are we there? Did we answer the call? I think so. You guys are here, right? But there are people in a lot of churches that haven't really answered the call. They're just playing games. It says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that the Father has given me, but rise it up on the last day. How much? What? If it's God's will, the Father's will, that all that are called to Jesus, that all that the Father gives to Jesus, it says that they will come to Jesus and he shall lose none of them. What does that mean? God got us. The main thing is, are we answering the call? And if you're his, you will answer that call. We're going to see with blind Bartimaeus. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will rise him up on the last day. And that should be exciting. That should excite us, right? Let's go back to Mark chapter 10 and go to in verse 50. So let's see verse 49. He says, take heart, get up. He is calling you. So Jesus is calling him over. Verse 50 says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus, throwing off his cloak. We think, I was looking at this and I was thinking, you know, are we ready to throw off our cloak, our old self, our old identity? Whatever in your life may be holding us back, whatever that looks like, because we are all that roadside blind beggar. Story. So, why are you looking at me that way, my daughter? What? She said, I can't talk about her, but I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry, baby. So, Angela got, someone gave her this, it's a snowman blanket. And she got it for a gift. And so we'd only take it out during Christmas time. How old was Jacinda? Two. Two. So I guess it was the second year. So one, she probably didn't really know too much. You know. So 2 years old, we bring out the snowman blanket, you know, for Christmas time. And Jacinda claims it for herself. She's like, this is mine. And like, if you try to pull it away, whoa. We're trying to put it back. No. Don't touch my snowman night. This is mine. And she was serious about this night. Don't be trying to take that. I remember one time we went on a date. Me and Angela went on a date. Date night, yeah. So we, you know, my mom and my dad were watching the kids. And so Jacinda, she loved that night. She has like these little tassels and she rubbed on her lip. You know, 2 years old, little girl and stuff like that. And 2, 3, 4, 5, 16. I'm She's 16 now, so. But, you know, so it was like a comfort thing, right? This comfort, this snowman night. Not sure she'd call it. She'd hope we'd take it with us on trips, go camping with it, you know, go everywhere, you know, with this night. She loved this. She loved this night. And they was going to spend the night at Grandpa Nana's house. We was on our date, and all of a sudden we get this text message. From my mom, no snowman night. Jacinda was having a couch. She's like, I ain't going to sleep. I ain't got no night. I ain't got no snowman night. I'm not going to sleep. She's freaking out, you know. And I'm like, ain't there. So, but she's like, we see the things that we hold so dearly to, that we think gives us comfort. We see right here where our identity, because she was all about that snowman night and mama. And I don't know if you guys ever seen that TV show. It's older. It was about dinosaurs. You guys remember that? The dinosaurs? Dinosaurs TV show. And then the baby would always like say to the daddy, not the mama. That was what Jacinda was like to me. I was like, hey, come here, baby. Not the mama. She loved her nine. She loved that mama. She daddy's girl now, right? Oh, I don't know anymore. The death stare. But she came to a point that, you know, she really wanted and thought, this is what, you know, makes me feel good. This is what I need. This is what comforts me. This is my identity. But as she grew up, she trusted the Lord. If you notice, she didn't bring her night with her. She used to do at the preschool. They put it in the there's like a cubbies, and she was like 2 years old too. Yeah, at the preschool, and she had to put it in the cubby, and she wasn't allowed to touch it. She'd go and look at it, and then she would go and she would sneak over there. She'd be standing there, rubbing the little tassels on there, and then she'd pull it out. And then even one of the sweet ladies, teacher's aides, would like actually like help her get it. You know, people that mean well to us, right? They mean well, and they'll kind of, all right, it's okay. You can have a little sin, right? You can trust a little other things for the Lord. Even our good people that love us will do that kind of stuff. But we got to come to the point in our lives where it talks about in chapter 50, and throwing off his cloak, Get rid of that old identity, that old self, who we think we are, who the made man or the made woman that we think we are. We get our identities in our wives and our kids and our families and our jobs and our money and our house and our vacations or whatever. We could get our identity in being like a sad person. People actually identify in their ailments too. I'm blind Bartimaeus. I'm this, I'm that, I'm stinky. I'm five head, you know, whatever it is. There's a guy at school, when you call him Pissy Jimmy. He was, what? You know, we identify these things. When are we going to get to the point, I don't need this identity no more. I need Jesus Christ. We could even do that as believers. We could hold on to that night. Like this. You know, we can hold on to those things. What's interesting, I don't know if you guys ever watched Charlie Brown Christmas. I never noticed that Linus was preaching the gospel. Did you know that? He was reading the scriptures in Luke. I didn't notice that for years. You know, that's the first time, you know, he was always had that blanket with him. You know, that was the first time ever. I don't know if it happened since. I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of Peanuts cartoons, but I read a thing. That was the first time. And then as soon as he starts reading the scriptures, he drops that blanket. Before that, you never see him let it go. Why? Because there's something much more valuable. There's something much more valuable, and it's Jesus Christ. So he says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. We all got to have that moment in our lives. We all got to have that moment to spring up and come to Jesus. And it says, and Jesus, verse 51, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Interesting question. What do you want me to do for you? Really, truly, what do you want? What do you really want in your lives? What's your heart's desires in this life? Right? What do we truly, truly want? You know, not too long before this, he asked this to the disciples, what do you want me to do for you? And James and John said, hey, let us sit on the sides of you in heaven on the thrones. And then he was like, you don't know what you're asking. Then they got their mama to ask. You don't know what you're asking. Why? They were looking for prestige. They're looking for position. And so he asked this question to blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do? And we ask God, what do you really want God to do for you? And young people, I want to graduate college, get a job. Okay, praise God. That's good. I want to retire. I want this, I want that. Nothing. Necessarily bad. This and that. But what does our heart ache for? What does it really want? What do you want me to do for you? This is Jesus asking. And the blind man said to him, Rabbi. Or check, you know what Rabbi is? Rabboni. Lord, Master. He knew who was talking to him. Lord, Master. Rabbi, Rabboni, Lord, Master. Is that our heart's attitude toward God? Is that our heart's attitude toward God? Let me recover my sight. Let me recover my sight. And we think, what really is our heart's desires? And we see this attitude. What is our attitude to come to Jesus? He said, let me recover my sight. What sight do we want? Do we want just worldly sight? Or do we want spiritual sight where we could see Christ, where God could change our lives? And it goes, verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. And you check it out where it says, go your way, your faith has made you well. You know what that meant? Yeah, his eyes see, but it says that he was saved. Where it talks about his, your faith has made you well, his eternal soul was saved. That's the true sight that we should all desire, or desire for other people. That your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Jesus not only healed his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes, saving his eternal soul. We see Bartimaeus believed Jesus was his master, his Lord, his Messiah, his healer of his eternal soul. He was a poor, blind beggar, dead in his sins, and was made alive in Christ. And it's interesting, and it says verse 52, and it says immediately he recovered his sight. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus. And we look, let's look at real quick what they did. The same story, but in Luke chapter 18, verse 43. And immediately, this is at the end here too. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him. And check it out. What did he do? What did Bartimaeus do? Glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Immediately, what? He started glorifying God. That he started lifting, and then everybody around him started glorifying God. So, do we pray? Do we also in our lives, when people are saved, do we give praise to God? Are we glorifying God? Where he sees Jesus, God in flesh, his sins forgiven, eternal life. Then what? You know the evidence. Then he follows Jesus and gets to see the triumphal entry, which we'll talk, the pastor's going to talk about. Isn't that amazing, right? God calls you. Come here. What do you want? I want my sight. He heals your sight. He saves your soul. And then you get to go with him in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because he starts following him. And imagine seeing that as Christ is going into Jerusalem. And people are saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! And people are putting their cloaks down and their palm branches down and they're worshiping. He went from being blind and on his way to hell and on the roadside to following Christ and seeing the triumphal entry, seeing Passion Week, probably seeing his crucifixion, probably seeing his resurrection. And I was reading on it, and they probably, one of the 120 in the upper room following Christ. What do we do with our lives? Because that's what are the true evidences, right, of salvation is what? That you will follow Christ. You will follow Christ. When Christ saves us, gives us eyes to see and ears to hear one day, what will be amazing, there's also going to be another triumphal entry. You know, Christ is returning. Christ is going to return to this earth, and he's going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. Won't that be amazing to see that triumphal entry? What about our triumphal entry when we get to go to eternity in heaven because of what Christ did for our sins? What about that triumphal entry? But we think about, we came, Jesus coming back to the earth to reign, to pay our price for our blindness, our sin, when we were on the roadside. He gave us mercy and grace, taking our place on the cross. What a day that will be, right? But we don't want to miss out. Follow Jesus. Repent. Because all of us at one time were that blind Bartimaeus. And I guess my question is, do we have eyes to see God? Because that's what Bartimaeus ended up with, right? He didn't have eyes to see anything. But now he has eyes to see God and is with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. Amen. Well, we're going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, and for the opportunity to just hear about your word and what you did for Bartimaeus. That, Lord God, you gave him eyes to see and you gave him ears to hear your truth and you saved his eternal soul. Help us, Lord God, to throw everything off, Lord God, that entangles us and leap up to come to you because you're all that really we ever need. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.